All right, look. I just find this fascinating.
Yeah.
The previous caller made the statement that no team has competed for an NBA championship, made to the NBA finals with more than, they had to have more than one all-star. But you can't go to the NBA finals without at least two all-stars. Four of the last five Eastern Conference champions have done it with one all-star. Four of the last five. Bro just made some crap up.
Yeah, but how many were all-star caliber?
Well, I mean, that's... Because if you're going to change it to all-star caliber, well, I would argue that Jalen Duren has is an all-star caliber player.
I would agree with that.
I think Jalen Duren actually might make it this year.
I think he might.
So.
But there have been years, 2023, both Miami and Denver had one all-star. Like
Denver's pretty good.
More than 50% of the teams that have played for the NBA Finals in the last 5 years have had one all-star.
Yeah, and then if you go back just in our own backyard, the Pistons, who won the championship in 03-04, the only all-star they had that season was Ben Wallace, and Ben Wallace was an all-star strictly because of one factor, defense.
Now, if his point is, you know what really helps is all-star players, we would agree.
Yeah.
But to make a statement of fact that is just simply not true is... I mean, in fact, it's the opposite of true. In the last 5 years, there have been 10 teams that have played in the NBA championship. And more than half of them have had one all-star. That's, which surprises me now that I think about it, but.
Looking back at that team, it's just insane what the Pistons were able to do. They averaged 90 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave up 84 a game. They averaged they took almost 12 3-point shots a game. This is how the game has changed. And now, all these years later, it's three times as many.
Yes, it has changed.
It's amazing. The leading scorer in that team was Rip Hamilton, averaged 17.6 points a game.
Let's continue the conversation. I will get to something that I know I shouldn't do, but I'm going to do it anyway on the air. In a minute, but we go to Larry. You're next on 97.1. Hi, Larry.
Hey, gentlemen. Great show. This is 9-8, Larry, by the way.
Who's that?
Sorry, they didn't make it to the Super Bowl. Love your show. I agree with Floyd.
I think Larry predicted they're going 9-8.
I'm sorry, Gator. What was that?
You predicted the Lions go 9-8 this year. Is this 9-8? That's what you want to be, 9-8, Larry?
Why not? Next year, I'd like to be 12-5, Larry. But for this year, let's do the 9-8.
Okay.
The Pistons' strength is the group in their unit. They're going 12-deep. When they do go to the bench, there's not a lot of fall off. Yes, Cade's the man, but they've got three or four potential All Stars just sitting there on their team. Well, you could pick the other four starters.
Well, I mean, that won't be the case, but I mean, if you take a look at what you mentioned about Cade carries the load so much, and it feels like there's plenty of other options when he's on the bench. Like the bench has won them games.
And a real fact to think about, fellas. They're changing the dynamics of the NBA in a way, just whereas Curry changed with the three-point barrage. They're playing a game from the inside out. Yes, they are hitting three-pointers, but they're destroying people on the boards and paint points, which is what you haven't seen in how many years, guys?
Well, one thing that helps a lot, Larry, is last night they missed 39 shots. They had the rebounding of those 39 shots, 25 were rebounded by the Knicks, 14 were rebounded by the Pistons. That is one hell of a ratio for a team on the offensive glass. Bold-ass prediction. I now know what he's referencing. I've on the bold-ass predictions. Larry, 9-8. They go to the Super Bowl as the 7 seed. That's what he was referencing.
Which we gave him credit.
We did give you credit for that yesterday. We read that on the air, Larry. I did not quite know where you were going with that. 9-8, Larry. Okay, Gator.
Am I going to be upset?
No, I just, this is so intoxicating. And it feels like it's so relevant. But next year, the Detroit Lions opponents.
I know.
Their combined record winning percentage.
Here we go.
Is 467. Only five teams in the league have schedules with opponents that have a worse combined record than that. It is set up for them. And Kang, you warned us not to do this a decade ago. But this graphic is so colorful and so meaningful.
Oh, you even got it printed out in color.
I got it printed out in color.
Wow.
Look at, we're way down here. Our opposing team's records.
Kang, how are we on red toner? Are we good on red toner?
Look at that.
Low ink.
How's the teal toner? Is the teal toner okay?
It's Honolulu blue toner, and it says 467 next to it.
Yeah, and imagine how much lower that would be if they didn't play in the NFC North division where their opponents are all 500 or better.
All right. So yes. Think of who they're playing outside the division. It's an excellent point by you.
Thank you.
Yep. Green Bay, their opponent's records. Third toughest in the league, 538. The Chicago Bears. Where are they on this graphic? I know they're on here. Oh, well, the Minnesota Vikings, their opponent's record's 519. Those are both top 10 tough schedules. Oh, here are the Bears. I didn't see them because they're all the way at the top.
I was going to say, the Bears have to be towards the top.
I've just highlighted the three other teams in the division. 1, 2, 3. Scott.
Yeah.
I'm circling the Lions way down here. Look at the difference. Look at the difference.
Now you're using your own ink.
The Lions.
You're running low on highlighter.
The Lions ink, I'll tell you that. Schedule gives them one of the easiest schedules, if this year matters at all.
Well,
if the year-to-year thing matters at all, and it never does. But it's so intoxicating, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. I get it. And you start to look at those teams that they're playing, non-divisional games, and there's reason to like that. Do you have the schedule of who they have to play?
I've got it somewhere, but one moment, please.
Because once you hear the names of the teams, it brings in a light. Oh wow, that's who they're playing?
Mm-hmm.
Them, and them, and them, and them.
So and their them. Non-divisional games are New England.
That New England's really good.
New Orleans.
New Orleans, not so much.
Giants.
Not so much.
Jets.
Not so much.
Tampa. And Tennessee. Those are their home games. Here are the road non-divisional games.
Yep.
Arizona.
Uh-huh. Not so much.
Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo.
Buffalo's good.
Here's a tough one. Carolina.
Carolina's is thank you.
I know.
Nice job.
I know.
Their stuff is Atlanta or Tampa
to
Bay.
Everybody
I
else.
Know.
Carolina might be one of their tougher non-divisional games next year. And Miami.
Hmm. Wait, is Tua going to play there?
Who knows? Tua sounds like he wants out. And I'm like, dude, you just signed a contract. You can't
Miami
be moved.
Sounds like Tua wants out. Miami wants out.
God, whoever would have imagined that didn't work.
Mm.
All right, so. It's
God, you hate Tua. Is it the language barrier? Is that why you don't like him?
Strength of schedule, man. This doesn't matter.
It matters.
Here, hold on. Here's how much it matters.
Oh.
I love it, but it just
visual
doesn't
and
matter.
Audio.
It just doesn't matter.
You good wasted all that colored ink.
Yeah. I did.
Good.
I'm out of toner.
Yeah, Cheryl's going to want to talk to you.
I guess. More of your phone calls and feedback next. It is Carson Anderson. You're on 97.1.